The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is. Best
of
one, and the best
ever
will be.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all of us command. TSN will be airing AEW, and welcome to the season premiere of the One Fall Podcast. And what it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam Weimarbathot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
So we, as Canadians, I know people have seen online that we have suffered, and we have waited, and we have just been like, we just want to watch AEW, and it's been teased. What would you say for about a month that Cody came out and said, expect in the next couple weeks,
coming soon, and then Sean Spears had something.
We've just been waiting and waiting and waiting, and Meltzer said, and there was even a report that Meltzer was nervous about putting out his Observer because he thought that the Canadian deal could be done just after he puts out the Observer, saying no deal for Canada yet. But as we are recording this, on September 30th at, what would you say, about 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time, the news broke from Pro Wrestling Insider, and Dave Meltzer has confirmed it, that from all indications, the deal is done. TSN will be airing AEW starting October 2nd, which, Josh, I think that's the premiere of AEW.
Under the wire, man. Right under the damn wire.
Just imagine, we'll call back to TSN for a moment. Imagine Game 7 versus the 76ers and Kawhi Leonard shooting the ball. That's what the equivalent of this is. It just came down to that one little moment. They've shot the basket, the ball's in the hoop, the puck's in the net, and the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, and a little bit of bubbly will be airing in Canada, and I am so happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I speak for a lot of Canadians. They were starting to get ready to look for alternative ways to watch AEW come this Wednesday because, you know, it was late Monday night. I think most of us had given up that at least it was going to air this week. And, I mean, we'll find out. I'm sure the Meltzers and the Pollocks will give you the ideas of how it happened. I'm sure it's a lot to deal with TNT and what they've dealt with ITV and a certain amount of commercial times that they've wanted. Also, you know, up here in Canada, TSN is owned by Bell, and Bell's been very strict about things that air and don't air, as we've seen with us not getting HBO Go instead of that going to a streaming platform like Crave. So Bell wanted to make sure that everything goes through the right connections for the CTRC, which is something we have to deal with up here. And so it all results, though, for the first time since 2006, a place that had wrestling throughout the years from WCW for a little bit, I believe.
Stampede Wrestling. They had a show with Ed Whalen on it.
They did. I was about to get to that. Thanks for getting there. And then it ended with Monday Night Raw airing in 2006. And you can remember Jay and Dan kind of doing their funny monologues in between the get ready to go to sports desk up here and kind of talking, doing like a mini promo about what's going on in the show beforehand for those that had TSN when Raw would air now. And this Wednesday, it's a big day in Canada also because the NHL season opens also. But that will also be the day that AEW launches around North America. Mexico, unfortunately, that's another country that is now like, where's ours? So Mexico's next on the path. I'm surprised they don't have it, just especially with the AAA bond that they've had. There's still disarray for the UK as far as they have and other places in Europe. But as far as us Canadians, I'm going to be a little selfish for a second and be like, yes, we have our AEW.
I'm super happy. I know TSN and AEW haven't said anything, but the Bucks sent out a random tweet with a Canadian flag, and Cody actually sent out a tweet where he replied to someone saying that the expect to hear about the ladder very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the to me the there's writing on the walls that they were hinting at this, and I'm feeling pretty good about this being 100% locked, and we're set for Wednesday. This is big.
Yeah, I mean the reason that we're here finally for the season premiere of the One Fall podcast. It's been a little bit of a break, and there's big news to get to and everything like that. But I guess also for us here, we're trying to figure out where we're going to go as far as bringing you the show, and we'll get into that at the end of it. So stay tuned of when you'll be able to find the One Fall podcast. I think we've landed on a date, which is with how everything's had. But I mean, the structure in Canada has changed. NXT, they're in only 1 hour on a Friday, so 2 days late. We talked about the ITV situation,
the thing with NXT is though we will get it Thursday. Oh. That's still but it won't air until 8 p.m. Mountain for us.
Right. Yeah, but as far as a main on the network, we get it. But as far as a main television side, Sportsnet will be airing it out here, but it's only like a best of. So it's very nice to know that we're getting AEW now on TSN, a channel that everybody has access to. And I think this is really big just for TSN, the station. For those that aren't aware, TSN doesn't have the rights to the NHL. They have vague rights for the Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Winnipeg Jets. And some blackouts resolve in that, but they don't play a lot of hockey. They'll spiral with NBA and the Raptors game coming up here in the winter. And I guess the most interesting thing for AEW will be, Joel, what happens in March for March Madness, because that's normally when TSN promises to load up their channels for March Madness. I'm assuming they'll just take a block there for AEW, but I think that's a path that we'll have to see if they move AEW during March Madness to maybe the online portion. I could see that being a situation. Yeah, because we've seen that up here in Canada for Sportsnet. They've taken Monday Night Raws, or more importantly, SmackDowns during a big hockey game up here, and they've thrown that to the Sportsnet Now app. So I'm assuming when March Madness comes, AEW will have to pivot for that short 2 weeks there when it goes. Well, actually, no, never mind. What am I talking about? I should know better. There is no March Madness on a Wednesday. I'm stupid. Let's move on. but yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, there may be circumstances where there is sports that, you know, pop it off, NBA playoffs, maybe, who knows, but it'll go to TSN Go, worst case scenario. The bottom line is wrestling's back on TSN, and it was a situation where a lot of people were concerned and tweeting. I mean, every time you go to anything AEW tweeted, especially in the last 72 hours, it was like, that's great. I'm Canadian. How do I watch it? So the Canadian fan base definitely spoke out.
Yeah, I'm glad this deal got done. There's been a lot of heat on AEW. That's since our break, we had our season break. Life happens, and sometimes you got to take a little break. But in that time, AEW's taken a lot of flack. There's been a lot more heat placed on them. I mean, everything from the Kylie Rae situation to the TV deals to the UK TV deals, to just some of the storylines that they're doing, some of the way some of the talent's being positioned. There's been a lot of flack that they've taken. But it's funny because the minute this deal got announced, it's nothing but, all right, I'm ready, I'm excited, I want to watch this. The negativity kind of washes away a bit, and the focus is on the positive, which is that you can watch it. And if it's a bad product, then you can say it's a bad product. But now you have the chance to watch it live and find out if it's good or not.
Yeah, I'm just glad that the option's there. I mean, for the longest time, at least as Canadian viewers, the thing was like, well, it's going to be on BR Live, which is like, fine. And I mean, there was that fight situation for a second where it was like, maybe it's $5 a month. And you and I discussed like, well, I mean, because a lot of us up here in Canada are kind of discussing this with Disney, or we have this with Netflix. It's like, well, Like, I know for Disney Plus, I have an agreement with a buddy. You have a separate agreement for Disney Plus with someone else. Like, you're going to pay this and I'm going to play this. And as far as thinking that AEW was going to be on Fight and be $5, it's like, well, I'll give you $250 and or whatever. Someone will give someone $250. But we don't have to worry about it being in BR Live. We don't have to worry about it being on Fight. We can set our DVRs or watch live knowing that it's on TSN. So that is fantastic news.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, this not only that, but if you're out and you're not able to watch it at home, there's the TSN Go app that you can easily mm-hmm. plug into and watch. So it's you have multiple ways to skin this cat and watch AEW, which I think is a good thing, which I think is which is going to benefit them. And even like we've had this conversation multiple times and we'll continue to have multiple conversations. I think that AEW may struggle a little bit at the beginning, but you're going to be there to be able to watch it. You're going to be able to see it. I think that's really cool in itself. And I don't know, man. I'm just really looking forward to being able to watch this. This is a great great thing for wrestling fans. I mean, our Wednesday nights are screwed because let's be honest, we can't watch NXT. There's no way for us to watch NXT legally. And I think that's a big advantage for AEW up here in Canada is, mm-hmm. well, the NXT deal sucks up here. We can watch AEW. And then
yeah, that's the very
Thursday,
true.
Thursday, I don't believe there's anything major for wrestling outside of NXT for us. So then Thursday night yeah. becomes wrestling. Monday becomes... There's a whole bunch. Like, We just saw pictures for the set for NWA, which looked like a very, very nice
little throwback. Do we know what day that's airing on?
I don't know, but it's on YouTube, so it doesn't really matter because it's going to be on YouTube and Facebook. So my best guess is it'll be like MLW, where you can go back and just watch the episodes.
I have spoilers for that if you want spoilers, by the way.
Let's lay it on.
By the way, so the way wrestling will work as far as, I guess, for the main schedules for these companies in the States is... This is what you're looking like if you're an American citizen right now, right? And I think to a Canadian, it'll work first degree. Our UK listeners, I deeply apologize for you because you guys are getting screwed over quite a bit, especially with what has happened at AEW. But the tentative schedule right now is Monday Night Raw on Monday. Tuesday night is Impact. Wednesday night, NXT and AEW. Thursday, nothing. Friday, SmackDown. You get a break on Saturday, or sometimes you might have a takeover AEW pay-per-view.
You may have both.
They're not for the next foreseeable future. In every 3 weeks or so, you're going to not go longer than 2 days without wrestling now.
It's wild. And I think that's where, how can I put this? The herd will be thinned.
Here's a few. I'm not going to give you any results, but there's a few key names that are out in MLW. So Damian Sandow's there now. James Storm, Eddie Kingston, Eli Drake is there. Trevor Murdoch. Remember Trevor Murdoch? He's there.
Trevor Murdoch.
Yeah, Trevor Murdoch is there. Marty Bell, who had a name for a while there. And then the final match was a six-man tag with James Storm and the Wild Cards against Colt Cabana and Mr. Anderson. Cabana's team won.
Okay.
So it was a really cool set. It was very nostalgic. Cornette's on the commentary crew. It's I give them credit. I like what they're doing. I like the idea of it. I mean, the interesting thing is you and I haven't really got to talk about Impact and what Impact's going to be. But then there's just kind of the float off of what NWA and what MLW will be and who will raise up from there. TNA's in the situation right now where I think for the first time, TNA actually knows they're not going to die because the company that just bought this television channel or whatever, right? They bought Access, I believe, right? They bought Access, the company that owns TNA. They know that they're not going anywhere. Anthem, right? Anthem bought Access, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been a couple of weeks since that story broke.
So. Yeah, so I think the best part for TNA in all of this is, for the first time in a while, they can be like, oh, we're not going anywhere. We can actually start establishing themselves. But right now, my question to you, Joel, is where do you rank everything in the pecking order? Obviously, we know WWE is still number one. Or who are we putting at number two?
Well, because you said WWE, that includes NXT and that clump. Yeah. I'd say number two is AEW. I'd say AEW. I think the TV deal is a little bit better for AEW down in the States. And I mean, they're being marketed as the number two. They're not being marketed. There is a serious push. Like, there was commercials for AEW on freaking Raw tonight in the U.S. So I think they're number two.
Who's number three? I guess the thing is with this is the big question with TNA is how does New Japan play in there? Will everyone play nice? There's still a grudge. If Japan and TNA devolve into one company, and they work with each other, this ROH deal, you know, expiring soon, where does that go if we're going to play the what-if game for a second?
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because if it devolves, we've seen, how can I put this politely? I love New Japan. I absolutely adore watching New Japan. I think it's my favorite thing to watch as a wrestling fan, because it's just pure athleticism. But we've seen that their working relationship with other companies, it's like a bad relationship where it's a one-way road. It's very much focused on the benefit for New Japan and not the other person in this wrestling relationship. We've seen the effects that Ring of Honor had on it. The amount of times they put over New Japan guys, and the amount of time that the focal point for ROH and their drawing point was having New Japan guys. Having guys that were making really good money over in New Japan and then coming over and doing stuff for them. Of course, you have Bucks and Cody, which were doing both. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because I don't know if Impact, if that's going to fly. There's obviously bad blood between both of them. But I mean, if something can be worked out where Impact essentially just becomes New Japan, something like New Japan North America, then that changes things. New Japan's relationship with CMLL is a little bit frayed right now. There's some talk about just they didn't send anyone to excursion to CMLL. And it sounds like that relationship may be a little bit on the rocks right now. I'm not going to say it's doom and gloom, but it sounds like that relationship's taking a little bit of a hit. So I'm interested to see if New Japan wants to get in bed with anyone else, or if they just really want to do their own thing. I mean, they were able to sell out the three shows with Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Of course, they had that whole ambulance fiasco, which was a shame that had to happen. Mm-hmm. But I could see Japan maybe standing on their own more and not wanting to get tied in with another promotion than that. I mean, we could also see where it's like, if you want to air on Access, you got to work with these guys.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the interesting thing. We're going to kind of see where it goes. I think for the first time in a long time, Impact feels like they have a potential to matter. And I mean, the crazy thing is, Joel, Bound for Glory is just around the corner. And it's funny, because there was a point when Bound for Glory really meant something. And for the longest time, Bound for Glories have not meant anything.
Yeah, now this is going to be really interesting, because there's a lot of players out there. Like, there were the reports that the deal that Taven signed with ROH is twice as much as what they'd get in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a very good deal, and the rumor is that they're going to offer Marty a similar deal.
Hold on, just once. Ken Shamrock is fighting on Bound for Glory?
Oh, yeah, no, you didn't hear that they brought Ken Shamrock?
No, no.
Ah,
I'm so in now. 55-year-old Ken Shamrock. What is what?
Yeah, man, you didn't.
Holy hell! Oh my god, I did not hear about this. He's facing Moose too, hey?
I think as a wrestling fan, I think I've become numb to things now, because I'll see headlines like this and it won't faze me. I'll be like, oh, Ken Shamrock's wrestling. Cool.
Wow. That is wow. And I mean, like, I knew Tessa was kind of finding her way into the men's division a lot more, right? She's in an Impact division. I mean, it's a ladder match. It should be Ultimate X. They should bring back Ultimate X for that. That'd be really cool to see Tessa in that. I always was a big fan of the Ultimate X matches. I will say for them, like, they're it's someone that's, like, interested in what Impact has done. And, like, when we're going to get to our worst company of the years this year, Impact's not even a company I'm going to talk about, because for the most part, it just sounds like it's been a fine product. They've done completely fine. There's no negativity around Impact at all. But, I mean, the World Championship match is Brian Cage versus Sami Callihan. Two talented guys. But is that something that's going to draw you to watch a pay-per-view?
No. Unfortunately, no.
I care more about, like, Tyra Valkyrie and Tennille Dashwood. And I think that'll be a really good match. And I'm interested to what happens with Tessa, if I was to do anything on that. I will say, like, they've done a good job, Impact, of breaching themselves in. As far as ROH, and you talked, I mean, we have a new champion in Roosh, whose contract is expiring. Matt Taven's contract was expiring. He's staying there now. What was the deal with the contract and NXT and all this stuff with him?
With Taven? Yeah. The deal that he got offered from Ring of Honor, and it appears he signed, was twice as much as what a NXT contract would have been. So they're throwing some money around, and the rumors is they're going to offer the same deal to Marty. Whether Marty signs is a whole other ball game. I don't know. Like, we know Ring of Honor airs up here on Fox affiliates, so you can watch Ring of Honor, and you can watch Ring of Honor on the Fight app up in Canada for free. So you can consume Ring of Honor. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, Roosh just got fired from CMLL. Him and his brother, Dragon Lee, both got canned from CMLL. And I think it... Because Dragon Lee got in trouble because he did Bola. And CMLL didn't give him permission to do it. So there was a bit of a heat on him for that. And it just... it sounded like Roosh was done and was starting to take bookings with other independent promotions in Mexico. And so it just seemed like that relationship is gone between Roosh and CMLL. So I don't know. Roosh is really close with Andrade, and Andrade seems really happy in WWE.
Well, for other reasons in the company, but yeah.
I mean, they like, you talk about just how positive that relationship seems to be between the two of them, just from what you've seen from a social media standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. Anytime that can happen, then that's a positive step forward for anyone in their lives. So if that could be a reason that that Roosh may show up in WWE one day.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't, like you said, we don't know his contract situation. I think I've not been a huge fan of a lot of the stuff this year, of how it's gone for Ring of Honor. And I mean, so as far as the pecking order goes, to me, like, WWE's number one, obviously. AEW is number two. Obviously, Japan's just kind of its own thing, I think, as far as the product and the wrestling in the ring. Japan's still number one, obviously. But we're kind of going with TV and everything that you have the options to within the week. I guess Impact is number three. But I'm really interested to see what MLW, being on BN Sports, and now what NWA can do. And if I had to kind of put a bet on it, I think NWA is kind of a sleeping giant, just because it has a knowledgeable name and it has someone in Billy Corgan that we know can put money into it if need be.
Yeah, I think NWA is going to be a long burn.
Yeah. But I think there's something there. They have some known talent there, like, you know, Ken Anderson and James Storm. I think Nick Aldis has been a great champion for them. That belt means something, right? I think when him and Cody had that match last year, it meant something, because that NWA title, you can picture it on Harley, you can picture it on Dusty, on Flair. That title means something, and it takes a lot for titles to mean something still, right? Like, I would say, like, the only titles that, you know, I still think the Intercontinental title, to me at least, means something to a degree when I see it and I think about the importance of that. But the NWA title, when you see it, you just kind of picture Harley holding. I mean, when Harley passed this year, what was the photo we saw? Was Harley kind of huddling under his arm, right? And that image, when that NWA title always comes to mind with it, or around Dusty's waist with it. So I think that NWA title matters, and I think putting it on YouTube is the right step for NWA right now.
You get more exposure. It's free. People can just float in and out and check it out. And if you start to see a real increase in numbers, and Corgan said two things, apparently, in his press conference. The one thing that I saw as a headline was that he said he would do that. NWA would do business with everyone except Impact. Geez, I wonder why. And he said that this isn't going to be the permanent home for NWA, the YouTube stuff, but this is the right spot for them right now.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for them to do that, build it up. I think the set is going to hit a lot of people with good nostalgia for it, and I think it's a good beat for what they're going to do. And I don't know how much we're going to cover NWA here. I think the fact that it's on YouTube definitely makes the reach out there a lot better. And I think right now that's what you need to do for your product, especially if it's in the niche situation. I think MLW has that as well. Like, you can go to Fight and watch it as well whenever you want, but having it on YouTube, I think that the problem is some people still that are in the MMA and the wrestling combat world aren't as familiar with Fight still, but everyone's familiar with YouTube. So I think that's a very smart thing for NWA. Is the fact, too, if something trends, it's right there on YouTube for anyone to go search out right away. So that's a smart move by them.
Oh, apparently, there's a story going around that Roosh is currently injured and unable to compete. He was pulled from Saturday's TV taping in Vegas. His injury is described as minor, and he should be back in the ring soon. The 2019 PWG Battle of Los Angeles winner Bandino wasn't so lucky. He was hurt at Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view on Friday and has returned to Mexico to rehab, and there's no timetable for his immediate return.
Interesting.
As well as I'd like to correct myself. The Ring of Honor contract offer was almost triple what an NXT contract would be. So it was described as a no-brainer.
Right. I'm interested to kind of see what those contracts mean, because, I mean, you and I had kind of speculated with NXT going to the USA Network, if that means, and that promoted NXT to the third brand, and what the pay scale would be like for that. My wonder is, maybe for someone like an Adam Cole or a Matt Riddle, those guys are now promoted to main scale contracts, but let's say someone like a Chelsea Green, for example, that's still, or like a Casey Canzago or whoever, that they're still, or ACH even, right? They're still at the bottom contract. They haven't worked their way up to the name. And this is just a pure guess.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Cause if things go well, then there should be a pay raise. See, this is where having a union probably comes in handy.
It does. I mean, I don't think that's something that we're going to see anytime soon.
Oh, God, no.
But it's interesting nonetheless. And the world of wrestling, like I said, it's really crazy just to think that realistically in most weeks now, you're not going to go 2 days without wrestling news. I think Impact obviously has a long way to catch up. I don't think even with the launch of AEW this week, aside from when they brought in Hogan and everyone and had that huge jump up that way, or maybe signing Kurt, I don't think Impact's going to be, even at their pinnacle, anywhere near what AEW is going to be just from the start.
No. This is the thing with AEW is I think they've got a lot of positive buzz going with them right now. Well, not positive buzz. I think they've got a very good wrestling card that I think will draw people in. I think they've got things that they can offer that will draw people in.
Yeah, I agree. So should we talk about Monday Night Raw quick? And then
No. We got to get to the big WWE news, the big one. And what is it? It's been 4 years, 5 years since he's last stepped into a ring in WWE.
I think so. Yeah.
He may be the most electrically charged man in sports entertainment. It's the return of the man that invented the word SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
The Brahma Bull, Rocky's back, and he'll be on SmackDown on Friday. I think that's the biggest thing for WWE this week is having The Rock there.
Well, I think it was really big that they announced it, because now it adds, like, you and I have this kind of, we're going to get to this. I think what the cool segment about this is going to be predicting the ratings through the week as well. So we'll be getting to that. We won't be predicting Raw. It'll be NXT, AEW, SmackDown, Raw. I mean, we can predict Raw if you want to, but I don't think neither one of us really give a crap what the Raw rating is. It's those other ratings just kind of seem more significant right now. I think for SmackDown, I think it's going to hit 4. You're kind of at that 3.5 right now, hey?
Yeah, I'm still up to 3.5.
I just think it's Friday night. It has no other competition, really. It doesn't have to even go head-to-head with collegiate basketball or the NBA or any big college games. I don't think so. Let me just double-check that before I bite my tongue on that, because there is always one big college football game every Friday. So I just want to make sure that they don't have to deal with that. This Friday we have, I mean, you have UCF for Cincinnati. It's fine. I don't think it's going to be a game that's taking away from SmackDown that much. So, yeah, there's nothing really going against it. And I think the fact that you advertise The Rock now, that's going to jump you up quite a bit as well. And because, I mean, I did a podcast today and I mentioned that The Rock's going to be there, and that piqued an interest to watch. I think the fact they've gone all hands on deck for the SmackDown, right? They've announced Rock, they've announced Hogan, they've announced Austin. I don't know they've done Hogan. We know Trish is there. And I even think the matches they've done, aside from the Horsewoman match, which, you know, should be a good match, we just saw it on what, Raw, like what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but Kofi and Brock, good build-up. They had Kofi in one of the Talking Head shows today, which was super cool. And I think KO and Shane in the ladder match is a good draw. I think they've done just a tremendous job all around in promoting this show. If it doesn't hit 4, am I going to be shocked? No, but I think that it's going to get to 4. And I think they may be disappointed if it's not 4. Because the 3s is what they do for Raw. I think they're expecting big numbers going to SmackDown, going to Fox.
Yeah. I'm still staying pat. I still say like 3.5.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that will be looked at as a nice number, but do you not think they'd be a little bit disappointed with that number?
I don't know. It depends on where they stand on things. Where they what the expectations are heading into this. They've obviously really gone behind this, so they must be expecting something. I don't know if it's a disappointment or not.
It'll be interesting. I mean, getting The Rock was such a big deal. The other name that has been connected to it is one Phillip Brooks, CM Punk, who has just been out loud and proud, not by him, but just by the rumor mill. But this is all because of rumor that kind of started almost a month ago now that he would be part of a new show coming to Fox in November that will be previewing wrestling and whatnot. But the rumor is strong that Punk will be on SmackDown on Friday. So now you have the confirmed of The Rock and the idea that Punk could be there. It's going to be a very exciting night. I mean, look, we also have a surprise, too, for who the Bucks have to face that's on Jericho's team.
Well, that's already kind of been confirmed.
Who is it?
It'd be, well, whatever they're going to be called, but the
LAX? Yeah. Okay. When did that get confirmed?
Apparently Jericho confirmed it on his podcast. Accidentally.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think Conrad did as well. But
we kind of figured that, to be honest. Yes. But yeah.
I think the draw for that is what we've seen with Kenny and BTE and what's going on right now with the cleaner. Or is he the cleaner? What's happening?
Yeah, I have had some problems with the Kenny Omega, you know, the stuff they've done at BT. I was a fan of it, but I didn't like him going over Donovan Dijak because there's nothing they can do against NXT. and they just have to, you know, focus on their own brand. I'm glad they kind of got more focus now on Kenny and whatever this character is. I'm just glad that they have it more focused on whatnot. I mean, Kenny Omega character this year has just been probably the worst year of Kenny Omega's career, to be honest.
There's a lot of sitting,
and I think there's a lot of diversion and plans. I mean, even go back to a BTE that he did by himself all the way at the beginning of the year against Tanahashi. The way that was done, I kind of thought he would be victorious against Tanahashi, or at the very least get another shot at Tanahashi for the title, and now that just seems like eons ago.
Yeah. I mean, we go back to the beginning of the year. He had that that video game based on Undertales.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I was talking
and
about.
And New Japan didn't want to run with that, so that got axed. So he had to show that online. Then he lost to Tanahashi, and then he sat, and then he sat, and then he wrestled a couple matches. He lost to Jericho. This is what you'd call a down year for an athlete. This is a guy that's metaphorically been on the bench, and any big match he's been in, he's lost. The only two matches he won was against Shima, which was very much a Japanese style wrestling match, and when he teamed with the Bucks, when he's wrestled a different style and had to wrestle someone that's more used to wrestling in North America, Jericho and Pac, he's lost. So it becomes very, very apparent that this guy is struggling right now, and I don't think he's beating Moxley. I don't think we're going to see a heel turn from him just yet, but I think November 9th he's losing to Moxley, and I think this is going to push him even further down. I don't know if he turns heel. I almost prefer the cleaner Kenny Omega as a bad guy. And him sleeping with the Bret Hart pillow was a nice little wink and nod to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think Kenny will be the cleaner. I think Kenny's going to be something different. Kenny's going to reinvent himself. And I think that's the best thing for Kenny to do heading into TV and AEW. Because as much as I love watching the Best Bout Machine and all the matches that he had in Japan, I just don't think that works in the AEW setting. And I think him tweaking his character and watching him tweak and change it to get to something that will work for TV in North America is going to be very interesting to watch and see how he does. I think he'll be able to do it, but it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, there's things that I like about the Kenny character, and there's things I don't like. But it's a very weird adjustment, even getting ready for Wednesday now, just to think that Kenny Omega is going to be a regular on a television show. We've seen what Cody Rhodes has done that. We've seen John Moxley. We've seen Chris Jericho. But the Bucks, even the Bucks we've seen to a degree, right, when they were on TNA. Not like this iteration, but Kenny Omega is the one guy that's just not ever done weekly television. And it's really interesting for him to be put in that world. Yes, there's a lot of other characters that we're going to see in that world, like Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and Kip Sabian and MGF, Hangman, that haven't really done weekly television. But Kenny's the big one in there that has never really done that. And that's what I'm interested too for a lot of these characters and these wrestlers and these performers that kind of guide themselves. When the only people that really in the company that have done weekly television or like in a major way on a bigger scale is Cody, Moxley, and Jericho. Is there anyone else I'm missing?
I mean, you could say Generation Me to a lesser degree for TNA.
Awesome Con, I mean, I guess to a degree with TNA as well.
Yeah.
So, but it's very limited of the amount of performers in that have done weekly television and are going to, I mean, it's going to be a beast. And you know, like you and I said, there's a lot of people that have been very judgmental on AEW. We got to give it at least 6 months, warts and all, to really see what this is.
Yeah. And even then, what it will be in 6 months from now will be different 6 months after that. Like, it's as long as they're smart, like you sent me a clip about Hunter talking about some comments about WWE, and basically the gist of his comment was you either evolve or you die like the, with the dinosaurs, mm-hmm. which is offensive to Luchasaurus, but we won't have that conversation.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
But AEW is going to have to constantly grow and improve. And even if it's small marginal growth, that's still moving forward. And as long as you keep going, no matter how much you stumble, as long as you keep moving forward, then your company is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think the one parallel that he made there too is Keith Olbermann, who is a journalist I really like, but he's obviously, you know, a little bit different at times and criticizes people. It was very much kind of like a Bill Maher comment on the comic book stuff. And but Hunter kind of flipped it in a way kind of bringing up comic movies. Like when Iron Man came out, he's like, well, this is for kids. And, you know, fast forward to this year, Endgame is the biggest movie of all time. So I don't think it's just for children anymore, right? This is a movie that has a mass appeal to everyone. And they do believe in, this isn't the first time they've used that. Stephanie's used Disney and the Avengers lately as well. I think this is the mindset. And I assume it's because, you know, they have children that watch these movies now, and maybe they enjoy themselves, and they see, like, you know, if I would have told you when the MCU started, when you have these movies that it would become the biggest movie of all time, people are like, oh, those are just comic book characters. But now these are pop culture icons that really matter. And wrestling was at that point as well. Wrestling's evolved so differently now that we have characters in AEW, in TNA, in WWE, in New Japan that are going to be able to evolve themselves to the top scale. And I think right now that's the one thing I need TNT to do a little bit better when the NBA comes back around, right? I need to see the Young Bucks on the show, on the halftime show with Chuck and with Shaq talking about Dynamite, which I think is possible because Shaq has definitely been connected to wrestling, and Charles Barkley's a huge wrestling fan. He was at Ric Flair's birthday party. So have them on those, whenever you have any of those sporting event shows, have them on there and you can take advantage of it, because fortunately right now they really haven't had the ability to have that on the Turner Sports Network just yet.
And once they do, I think you got to get behind it. You've got it going. Might as well give it as much as you got.
Yeah, the Bucks have been known to be basketball fans, so I wouldn't be surprised to have them on there. We'll have the graphics for AAWs. We saw it in the NBA playoffs last year. I'm sure enough we'll see it when the NBA season starts here in just a few weeks here. So that'll be really big for their promotion as well. I just think overall that the growth of wrestling this week has definitely been noticed in more of a pop culture scene. And I think this is good for everyone. And, like, you know, obviously here in Canada, we were really worried that we weren't going to get a chance to see AEW. But now it's nice to have an alternative, because you had a situation like Raw tonight. For the most part, pretty good Raw. And then the end, I don't know if I liked it, if I hated it. I don't know what to frickin' think about the end of Raw tonight.
So here's my thing. Raw had some good stuff, like the beginning with Brock finally getting revenge on Eddie Guerrero and Eddie Guerrero's son, Dominic. It's long-term storytelling. It's at its best. Yeah. Oh man, Dominic sold. Like, did you see the?
I saw them now. Holy crap! Brock, he got the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, and Ray got beat up, and like you know the next match where they had that ambulance sound, that was actually the sound from them getting Dominic and them out of there.
Nacho Libre's son.
Yeah.
Thanks, broadcasters.
I thought that was a good start. I was intrigued. I was like, okay, well, who's challenging Seth now? What? Because obviously Ray's not going to do it, because if Ray did it and Ray beat him, then Seth looks like a chump. If Seth beats Ray, then Seth kind of looks like an idiot. Well, not an idiot, but kind of like, oh, you're taking advantage of poor injured little Ray. That's not cool, man. And then the show kind of went on and it had some good stuff. It seemed to have decent pacing and everything. I did not like the Seth, Rusev, Randy and Corbin segment. I thought that was,
did you see what happened to Corbin?
What happened to Corbin?
So he was sitting in the chair on the what's the, what do you call the king's the throne. He was sitting on the throne, and he was leaning on it, and it fell off. It fell apart. It broke. So he fell off it, and I guess a piece of the chair ricocheted into Randy's stomach. They never showed this on Raw. Someone caught it on, like, took some pictures, kind of had, like, one of those blast pictures. I haven't seen a video on it yet, but this was what it was described at. Because there's the thing, like, what the hell happened here? Of it was kind of Corbin leaning down in the chair, and then Corbin on the ground, and then, like, one of the legs of the chair, like, on the ground next to Randy, as Randy's holding his gut.
So that pretty much summarizes how I feel. Because, like, you have Hogan and Flair, and they're going to have a Team Hogan and Team Flair at Saudi Arabia, which we will just gloss over and pretend it doesn't exist right now.
Why, the number one trend in Canada right now is AEW Dynamite.
That is glorious to hear. Yeah. They announced that, and then they had Seth and Randy want to have a match, so you think that's who's replacing Rey, and then Rusev comes down and saves Seth from a beatdown. So Rusev's now a babyface, and all they did was pose at the top of the ramp with Hogan after beating down the heels. Usually after that leads to a tag team match, which it didn't. And then Rusev challenged a match, and apparently there was all this rumors and gossip about what was happening at Rusev at home. But no one was talking about what was happening Rusev at home. That was never once hinted before Rusev showed up. But you got Rusev, and Rusev got a good reaction. So it's like, oh, cool. Rusev and Seth, this will be fine. Rusev didn't get an entrance. So you're like, okay. That's cool. Rusev's not going to win, but it should be all right. And then just Bobby, there's a limousine. So you think they're going to show someone coming out of the limo.
Some people thought it was John Morrison because he is back in WWE. Don't know how he's coming back yet. Some people thought it was Punk to be the GM, which I didn't. You and I were both reserved that he was not being on Raw. So
no. But he'll be on SmackDown.
Maybe. I mean, he has two things with Punk that we should notice before you carry on. He's doing an interview in LA tomorrow, so he is in LA. Go crazy. I'm trying not to go too crazy about it, but yeah. And then he has an announcement on Collider. I think it'll be something about his movie. I don't think it'll be anything about wrestling.
Just. When if Punk ever came back, especially to WWE, can we just have a 20-minute podcast of you screaming?
If it happens, it happens. I mean, you can't go too crazy about it. I mean, looking at Twitter, people are crazy. Anyways, you were talking about Lana.
And so then you can tell Lashley's waiting for someone to come out on stage, and it's taking freaking forever.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
You know it's Lana. Then Lana comes out, and they basically grope each other on stage. And Rusev's just standing there. So I guess when two competitors at the top of the stage make out, that makes a match a no DQ. And then the Fiend comes out and attacks Seth, and Rusev just disappears.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, they must just not trust Bobby Lashley to be by himself, because they, you know, they had him with Leo Rush. Who's now the number one contender for the Cruiserweight Championship. And then now they put him with Lana. And I will say, like, yeah, you know, WWE takes some acting. But, man, I know, like, her and Rusev have been married for a while. But, man, she made out with Bobby Lashley. Like, it was like she was actually cheated on Rusev. That was some aggressive making out, man. That reminded me, like, Edge and Lita.
Yeah, and that was the comparison I saw online. But that's how you close the show, is them making out. Then it was a cluster. It was a unnecessary cluster that none of that needed to happen the way it did.
Well, I would just say I gave you the word focused for so long. Everything was very focused, and that was not focused. It seemed like Vince McMahon's like, okay, goddamn it, pal, you get 2 hours and 50 minutes in the last 10 minutes. Oh, me, baby.
it felt like Vince McMahon, because it just felt all over the place. It felt like they were trying to squeeze too much into it. This could have been a Heyman thing, too. This is all purely speculation on our part. But it just felt so crammed and rushed and unnecessary. It just didn't make no sense, because you couldn't have the babyface roll up Rusev while his wife is making out with Bobby Lashley. I forgot, when that music hit, I completely forgot who it was until it turned to the stage and it said Almighty.
I knew it was.
I was like, oh, Bobby's back. Like, why didn't they show Bobby coming out through the... out of the limo? Like, why show the limo and then not show someone getting out of the limo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know the point of having the limo there. Like, Lana's coming in a limo? Really? And just, Bobby Lashley's in the limo? Like, when you think of the limo, you really... I mean, two people always come to mind automatically with the limo. It's Vince. It's really the McMahons, but mainly Vince. Or it's Flair.
Yeah. Or JBL. So that, but it didn't have any Longhorns on it, so we were good.
No, yeah. So, like, you did nothing to show that there. I mean, it's very Attitude Era-ish, which I don't know. I mean, they have some attitude. I mean, I guess the Maria stuff is just done now?
No, because they kind of talked about it where... Because she had a backstage interview, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm just not interested in. Like... Why didn't Bobby come out and just attack Rusev? Why didn't he come down, make out with Lana, have Rusev run down, and then get speared by Bobby?
Well, the thing is, too, Bobby's going to win this feud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is total backwards booking. And we have seen this happen before when Lana went with Dolph. And at least in that, we had Summer Rae to help save it. We don't have Summer Rae to save it this time.
They're going to pair Rusev up with another woman, aren't they?
Who? Lacey Evans or Maria?
I don't know, but they're going to pair him up.
Dana Brooke, at least, maybe? Because, you know, I mean, Dana's been working her ass off. If that's the very least she can get, I mean, I'll give it to Dana. She can at least have it.
I don't know. You know... I really like The Fiend. I do. I really do. And R.I.P. Rambling Rabbit. He's dead. And it's a sad, sad state in the Firefly Funhouse. But I just feel like The Fiend has been overexposed. And The Fiend's losing at Hell in a Cell. There's no way that they're taking the title off Seth.
Which, by the way, is this week. Are we doing the preview tonight? Or we're going to wait for SmackDown, right, obviously?
We're going to wait for SmackDown, because we got to see if Brock murders Kofi or not.
By the way, Rusev just sent out a tweet. ...
As of right now, I'm just not high on this.
Yeah, I mean... I didn't really know what happened. The making out was just so aggressive. I couldn't believe how aggressive the making out was.
It was crazy. They were in on it. I was like,
they really like each other.
If I was Rusev, I might be a little nervous about this one.
Might have to get a little bit Don Drapery with Megan afterwards when he saw her make out on Mad Men. That's a deep cut there. Thanks, folks. But. Yeah. What else happened on Raw other than that weird Attitude Era-like thing?
Oh, Seth had a... Seth had a weird promo even in the show where he kind of was all over the place where he's like, we're going to talk... I'm going to skip over The Fiend. It's terrible what Brock did, but I'm not going to come out and run in and save Rey, but I'm just going to tell the interview it's terrible what happened. Mm-hmm. And get suddenly really hyped about the premiere and taking on the... It was... this show felt very uneven at times.
I think Sasha and Becky should close the show personally, especially if The Fiend isn't going to win, which I don't think he is. I almost wonder if you should start the show with Seth and The Fiend. I do think you should close with Becky and Sasha. I think that's the match that we don't know for sure who's winning that match. I think that match has the most heat to it, especially with how they ended the last show. I think that those two have built it, the match up to a decent point. But, I mean, I can understand, you know, The Fiend is the hottest character in the company right now, and he's also the poster. So I totally understand them closing as well. Mick Foley also was just kind of advocating on this that he thinks Becky and Sasha should close.
It's going to be really interesting to see because they, like, when you look at this, you want it to be a memorable show. You want it to mean something when the chips are down. And as of right now, they've only announced 3 matches for Hell in a Cell.
Have they?
It's Daniel Bryan and Roman versus Rowan and Harper, Becky versus Sasha, and then Rollins versus Bray.
Wow.
So Brock wins the title. There's no way I can see them doing a turnaround where he has a match in Hell in a Cell.
And I don't see AJ and Alexander again. Like, it was pretty, it was a clean win tonight. So why are we doing that again?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can't go. Well, Ricochet beat Cesaro, so maybe.
They shouldn't have had a pay-per-view this week because this week is just so built upon the premieres of everything, which totally get it, right? Like, I mean, pretty much NXT this week is pretty much a takeover. For all the matches they have, it has a takeover type of feel to it, right? And then SmackDown feels like SmackDown's the biggest show of the week. Like, Hell in a Cell is just such an afterthought. I guess we'll talk about it on Saturday with everything like that. Hell in a Cell, like, look, there's matches I care about on here. Like, those 3 matches you said, like, yeah, there's just 3 matches, but I'm really interested in Seth versus Bray and Becky and Brian and Roman versus Eric, Rowan and Harper. But I don't know, I mean, do they do the Viking Raiders versus Dolph and Bobby yet, or are we holding off on that?
I don't know. I imagine they're probably going to announce something along those lines.
Ollie and Knock?
Why haven't they done anything with Buddy Murphy?
Yeah, he's been kind of forgetting after having a nice little reign there. I mean, they did Sasha and Lacey today. Maybe they do that again?
Maybe Sasha and Lacey and Natty.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's. I mean,
I don't think they should have a show. Charlotte, maybe.
You can only rehash this so many times.
It was kind of all over the place. I mean, I think, in a way, I hate to admit it, they almost should have waited for Crown Jewel, to be honest. I mean, they've set the main event up for Crown Jewel today. By the way, I guess, can we confirm now that there'll be no female pay-per-view this year?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Which is kind of BS, but okay. I really liked that show last year. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. I liked Becky's promo, and I liked Sasha's promo from Raw. So there were those positives.
I really like Sasha's promo. I know you've been kind of lower on her, but I also didn't just like that it was Sasha. I like the organicness of it. You don't really see, like, someone come in, take the mic. They got the BS they needed to get out of the way with the Maria and Lana stuff. And then they have Sasha come in and make the segment serious. I really like the turn in there of that.
Yeah, it's... I'm interested to see. I think Sasha is the right person to go with for the title.
Bobby Lashley's been announced for Team Flair, by the way.
I can make jokes, but I don't want to. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sidestep this. Sasha's more than likely winning, but you need to shake up the women's division a bit. I mean, we have the draft coming up, and I feel like that's also been a hindrance on everything that they've been doing because they can only go so far before they're like, well, we can't start anything because then that limits what we can do in the draft.
Well, even like this Team Hogan and Team Flair thing, how does that play inside of the draft? You're doing distinct rosters, which it's like, okay, cool. Like, the commentary teams are broken up and everything, that's a huge bonus. We'll see what the set is like on SmackDown. That'll be a bonus if it's different. So you're taking the right steps at least this time, but there has to be crossover with Team Hogan and Flair, you would think, right?
You think so, and that's the thing. How are you going to promote?
Unless these guys, I mean, unless like Randy is going to Raw, which I can assume maybe that's going to be a case. I mean, all the guys right now that are listed are Raw guys except for Randy. Actually, I don't know what brand Russo was technically on. He's technically a SmackDown brand guy. Did you even have any idea that that was the situation?
Not the freaking faintest. This is not good. I'm going to be glad when they get the draft
done. Back to normal. That's next week, right?
I think it's the week after.
Okay. I mean, so that's going to be the interesting thing with Saudi is just where they go and everything there. I mean, I hate to kind of go back to this Hogan and Flair thing, but, you know, Taker's announced for this. Could you see Taker being on Team Hogan? If anything, I think that's the best way to use Taker, to be honest. Yes,
absolutely. That's the best spot to use Taker. There's been some speculation. They wonder if Edge would do it.
I mean, this is another... I mean, Edge and Hogan, former tag champions, they have the connection there. And if you were going to use Edge, this is the best way to use him, is to hide him in a corner. I mean, you could also do the reconnection with Rated RKO, but Edge isn't going to get booed. It's impossible. So, and I mean, we don't know what's going on with Edge. He just quit the podcast this week, so.
Well, because from the way I perceive it is, he need to be a full-time dad.
Yeah, because Beth is with NXT, so we know that's going on for sure. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. I mean, WWE's kind of jumped ahead to Saudi already. It's hard to believe there's a pay-per-view this week. Anything else before we kind of explain what the future is of One Fall here?
I think we got to run down a couple, at least two wrestling cards for this week, maybe three. Yeah.
Oh, right. So. Let's start with AEW. Got the card with you?
I do not, but I'm sure that we can all track it down. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's going to be 2 hours. It should be dynamite.
Yeah, that's the name of it. I mean, so we know the one big one. It's Sammy Guevara and Cody Rhodes. I have the card in front of me, by the way. Is that what's going to kick it off?
Yep, that's the opening match. From everything that they've said, that's the opening match.
It'll be very interesting if they have Sammy Guevara win this, because I almost want Sammy Guevara to win this, to be honest, because I want to see how it does affect the win and loss record.
Yeah.
Like, does it get to a situation that Sammy Guevara wins this match and then all of a sudden he can jump ahead of the line, and then maybe later on this week, in the next 2 weeks here, that Jericho has to face Sammy Guevara? That's what I'm really interested in.
Yeah, and then the storyline heading into full gear is Cody climbing his way back up.
Yeah, and getting the match back against Sammy Guevara. So that's interesting there. Who do you have winning that match? So I kind of want to lean to Sammy, but I do think they are going to go full steam ahead and just get this Cody and Jericho match to go. So I do have Cody Rhodes winning.
I have Cody winning as well.
Then we have the, we got MGF versus Brandon Cutler. I think Cutler's going to win this match.
I'm going to go MJF just so that he can be more of I don't know. Does a loss send MJF more, turn him into an even bigger dick?
Yeah, I think Cutler needs the win. It's a bigger deal for Cutler to get the win than MJF to get the win.
Yeah.
MJF can afford it.
Yeah, MJF, when he does start stringing wins together, then he'll be just fine.
And it's basic storytelling of 101, right? Like, this guy's been a complete dick to Brandon Cutler. He's been a bully. It only would make sense for Cutler to pick up the W.
Yeah.
Then we have Hangman Page versus Pac. I was very shocked they announced this for AEW television. I thought maybe they'd save it for full gear, but... You know, this is a match that people want to see. They had it at once. They had to do it on kind of a house show type of feel. Now we're getting to get this match. I have Pac winning it.
I do as well. I think they're going to be, from all indication, it seems like they're Pac's there, and they're gonna use Pac to his full advantage.
I'm guessing Pac is going to be the next guy to face Jericho. It's either Pac or Moxley. My prediction.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of Moxley, he is set to appear on this show, So
yeah,
it seems like he'll have a live mic.
Then we also have Chris Jericho and the Young Bucks. I mean, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and two partners. Like we kind of said, this sounds like it's going to be LAX, but who knows? Maybe we'll get surprised.
Jericho, you could have been previewing the future, and it could absolutely be Jericho and the Bucks versus Kenny, much to just beat down of Kenny, this broken down man. And you know, he doesn't have Kota Ibushi to turn to anymore.
I have Jericho and the Mystery Partners winning this match.
He's your first champion. You want him to look
soft. he pins Kenny Omega
and further pushes Kenny over the edge.
Then we have the Women's Championship, Nyla Rose versus Riho. I have Nyla Rose winning.
I do as well. I think I think this would be a decent match, but I do think that Nyla Rose is the way to go for the your first champion.
She's the poster girl they want right now. They have kind of had, like, I mean, as far as promotion, you see Nyla more than any of the females so far.
Yes, she's getting pushed the hardest. And we've talked about this. I remember watching the BTE on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, announcing AEW. We're here now. We're on the way to the next. This is the start of weekly TV. They're taking everything that BTE is built towards, everything that The Road To is built to, and now we're going to get a weekly television show.
And then, I mean, surprises. What can you have? I mean, is it a situation that CM Punk is on this show? I don't think so, that CM Punk's going to do anything with AEW, but maybe we got bamboozled this entire time and it'll be in AEW.
Could you imagine?
I think that would surprise a lot of people. I think it is WWE that he's going to, though, if he goes anywhere.
Yes, I agree. I absolutely agree.
It kind of seems that way.
Weird to think. Because even 6 months ago, I'd be like, he wants nothing to do with WWE.
Mm-hmm. And then we have NXT, which I'm trying to get that card figured out right now. We have the World Championship match with Adam Cole, Bay Bay, against Matt Riddle. I kind of was speculating to you, I would have Goldberg attack Matt Riddle in this. You're going to do that match. It's very obvious you're going to do it. Let's get it going.
It would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you go down that route, right? Like, that's the match that we want to see. Do it. I know I want to see. Why not get it going with it?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it is a straight up match, I still see Adam Cole winning it.
Yeah, Adam Cole. Adam Cole is the face of NXT for at least the first little bit on USA.
Mm-hmm. Then we also have, I believe, the tag titles are up, as it is the Undisputed Era with the rematch against the Street Profits. I have Undisputed winning that.
Yeah, they got to stay draped in gold.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a women's match on this, I believe?
Oh, you do. You have a big women's match.
We have Candice and Baszler, right?
Yep, and I think Candice LeRae is going to be your NXT women's champion.
I would agree with that. And what else do we have on this?
The Velveteen Dream Experience comes to NXT. So we're not sure what that's going to be like, but that'll probably set up Velveteen's next program.
Yeah, this is a harder kind of card to find. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really good show.
There's one more match that is on there, and it is Mr. NXT, Johnny Gargano versus Shane Thorne.
Right.
So this is definitely a harder card to track down, but we're going to see Johnny wrestling.
So he's going to beat Shane Thorne, obviously. Do we see Ciampa after the match?
I don't want to tease it until he's 100%.
Right.
I don't. Ciampa
hasn't been on NXT television yet.
Which is pretty wild. But he had that promo video that he released that got me all hyped about him. So maybe his neck is in a good spot.
So we have all the champions staying the same, except that we, I mean, I wonder too, with Velveteen and this experience coming out, right? Like with him coming out, I wonder if that's maybe a chance for Morrison to confront him.
That could be it as well. That could be it as well.
Two that characters that are kind of similar in some situations that could be going one-on-one with each other. And that could be, I mean, we don't know where John Morrison's going yet. He could be on Raw or SmackDown. Could be in NXT.
It would be a bigger name you need to have some of those names that help kind of gravitate people towards NXT at the start.
And this will be, for those in the States, this will be the first full week that NXT is 2 hours exactly. So what does that mean for Canada? Does that mean we still have to wait, Joel?
Yes, we do. We have to wait till Thursday night, 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Unless you have alternate means to watch it, so.
Cough.
And then for SmackDown, we talked about the three big matches they have on SmackDown. The ladder match, so let's start with that. Who do you have winning the ladder match?
I have Shane winning.
Do you?
Because then KO can go to NXT. And then he'd be as far away from Raw or SmackDown.
So you think he's going to... Do you think he's the next opponent then for Bay Bay?
I would. It'd be great. The promos between those two would be magical.
Okay, I think I have KO winning because I think they're just going to get rid of Shane overall.
So is Shane done with the company or is Shane...
As an on-screen character, I think it's time to move forward without him.
Because he's only signed to be on an on-screen character.
Is he?
Yeah, he has no controlling stakes in the company at all. I don't believe he has any behind-the-scenes role. So that's why I think KO loses, because I don't think they... I don't know how much longer Shane has on his deal, and I could see them wanting to keep Shane around.
Right. I mean, could be. I'm excited for the match. I'm glad these two aren't doing a Hell in a Cell again. We also have the Horsewoman match. Does it really matter?
Yeah, it's kind of a throwaway match. It'll build towards what will happen at Hell in a Cell.
And then Kofi and Brock.
If Brock throws Kofi like he did Ray or Dominic, I really hope Kofi's okay. I think Brock's winning. But I could also see Kofi winning. But they made Brock look like a serial killer. So.
Also, so for the draft, by the way, the first part of the draft will be next Friday and then followed on Canadian Thanksgiving on the 14th.
Well, so. At least. And then by that point, we'll have two separate shows and it will last a total of what? 4 weeks? 6 weeks?
Well, until Survivor Series, at least, when they cross over. Like, Raw and SmackDown versus each other, this never happens!
This is the first time brand supremacy matters!
The thing that they should do with having Team Hogan and Team Flair, which is a decent idea for a Survivor Series match, is they should do Team Raw, Team SmackDown, and Team NXT in a triple threat match. And do War Games with them.
Yes.
That's what they should do, but War Games is a separate pay-per-view. But in a way, that's, I think, what everyone would like to see. Of the main Raws, like, want to see Seth Rollins and these other main, and AJ in a War Games match.
So how many competitors per team for a War Games match?
Well, I think we do, is it four or five each they do?
I think it's four. So who's, if we're going off the rosters right now, which are still confusing, but hey, we'll go with it anyways. Wait a second. Did they say I just realized something. Did they say that the wild card rule was done?
Yeah.
Or did they say it would be done after the draft?
After the draft is done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I had questions if they said it was done and then they reneged on it already.
No, after the draft is done, it's over.
So we'll try to muddle through the rosters, but from Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, who are the four guys for each team?
I mean... For SmackDown's
Bryan and Roman.
And then someone from the New Day. Pick someone from the New Day you want. Kofi, sure. And then Buddy or Knock?
I'd say Ali.
Ali, sure. NXT, you go Bay Bay, you go Dream, maybe Keith Lee and Dijak?
I'd go Johnny. I'd throw Johnny.
Yeah, you can go Johnny, right, right. You need Mr. NXT in there.
So you had Cole, Dream, Johnny, and...
Riddle?
Yes, Riddle.
And then Raw, you want AJ, Seth. I think you put Corbin in there just for a base.
Corbin and Ricochet.
Yeah.
And then let hell break loose and someone die.
There you go. So there's the shows this week. It's going to, and by the way, I have Brock as well. I think Kofi had a better run than any of us thought that he would have. But I mean, the future is obviously going forward with Brock as the champion. I think you and I have kind of been.
Is Ray his program?
Brock's?
Ray and Brock.
Yeah, I'm thinking it may be.
Because if you're going to do this, might as well have some payoffs.
Mm-hmm. Like it may be that. So, yeah, it could be Ray. So there you go. As for this show, for the One Fall podcast, we had typically been doing stuff on Wednesdays, Thursdays. Pod sometimes came out on a Friday. I guess going forward, the pod will take place on Saturday mornings or Friday nights and be out Saturday mornings.
Yeah, because I guess we got to wait for pay-per-views are going to change things. News is going to change things. So it's going to be,
SmackDown's the A-show, which is a weird thing to say. I mean, SmackDown's always been the A-show for you and I. For all those people that, you know, when the brand splits have happened in the past, it always champion SmackDown. It's a win for all of us that always like the blue brand more.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's very weird that SmackDown is the A-show. It is bizarre to me.
It's a weird feeling.
I mean, you would almost wonder. I mean, I think, do you think with the Fox deal that obviously, you know, they couldn't have done Monday night because of the shows they have? I mean, you could not move 9-1-1, right? I guess we couldn't imagine Raw not being on a Monday.
Yeah, no, it that would be such a culture shock.
Yeah. So, I mean, so SmackDown now has been on every day but Monday, which obviously makes sense. And
were they on Wednesday?
I don't think they were ever on Wednesday, no. It's always been Thursday night SmackDown, Friday night SmackDown, and then SmackDown Live. And now it's Friday night SmackDown again, which we had for quite a while. I mean, I remember one of my favorite Friday night SmackDown lineups was they had the draft, and that's when they got Ray, Jericho, Punk, and Hardy. I think Ziggler was there too. It was, and I think that's kind of when Mark was starting a little bit too. That was a really fun time for SmackDown.
I'm interested to see what this new version of SmackDown looks like.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what the draft goes too. I mean, I'm assuming Becky, this is why I think Sasha is going to win, because if you look at the Fox, anything they've done, it has a lot of Becky. So I'm assuming Becky is moving to SmackDown and Sasha will become the queen of Raw.
Yeah. She can be the heel that everyone chases.
The blueprint, who I've seen that Matt Morgan is not very happy with that.
Yeah, well,
sometimes he sent his DNA into space. I mean, he literally is a blueprint.
All right.
So yeah, our pods will be coming out later or earlier on Saturdays. And then for podcast, for pay-per-views, we'll figure it out. But thanks, everyone, for listening and subscribing to the One Fall Podcast. We appreciate it. We're sorry for the sabbatical for the last bit, but you have to build it up to get to the season premiere, right, Joel?
Absolutely. Sometimes you got to take a break, take a vacation, and then come back fully ready for what's going to be the wildest 6 months in wrestling history, I think.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, in the next 3 months here, just in the next 3 months alone, we are going to be, we're 3 months away from the Royal Rumble, first of all, so that's going to be coming, but We're going to see what happens on Wednesday nights with NXT and AEW, most importantly. We're going to see what happens with Raw as far as being the B show. We're going to see what happens with Access and Impact. We're going to see who steps up in that B block of MLW, NWA, and Ring of Honor, and who really steps up to be number four right now. And then most second most important, I guess, other than what's happened Wednesday, is what happens with WWE on Fox. And then also in 3 months' time, Little Japan is getting ready to do two nights of Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, holy bull.
So we have no idea even who Okada is gonna face for his title yet.
Really. And we don't know if they're gonna be a double champ.
Like, we don't know if he will face Kushida or not. He may go after Naito, first of all, right? Like, we don't know.
Well, Ibushi can't face Kushida, but
not Kushida. Ibushi facing Naito instead of Okada. That was a rumor for a second, right?
Well, the rumor, it seems like, and it gained a lot of steam, but the rumor seems to be that there, by the end of second night, there will be a double champ. Someone will both have the IC and the World Heavyweight title. And Jay White currently has the Intercontinental title. So Jay White could end Wrestle Kingdom.
When did that happen?
Their last pay-per-view. He beat Naito.
This is a stupid question because I just haven't been paying attention to Japan as much as I... Is Moxie still the U.S. champion?
Yes, he is.
Wow. So when is he defending that against Juice?
From all indication, it sounds like he'd be doing the Tokyo Dome.
Against Juice?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Because that's when his contract's pretty much up with Japan.
Is he the longest running champion now?
He might be. I'll have to look that up.
No. Kenny had it for 200 days. Juice had it for 152 days. Jay White had it for 160 days. But these are combined reigns, I think. Yeah, those are combined reigns. Except for... the only person that has combined reigns is Juice. Juice had it twice. Yeah. Kenny had four defenses. You know how many defenses Moxie's had?
Zero.
Yeah.
May still got it.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. It's a wacky... I guess we should just double-check before we get out of here if there's anything else more that happened. I mean, for as far as you and I go, we're just peachy because we got AEW to air in on TSN, which was a huge deal. And then The Rock being a big deal. And then, obviously, we will see how everything goes. And also, 205 is moving to Fridays. It's not dying.
This is a tweet from Lance Storm. Randy Savage gave me advice once about working an angle with my wife. I did an angle with my wife one time and I ain't got no wife no more. So, I wonder what he's referring to.
Who's this?
Oh, I think it's Lana and Rusev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was he married to? Francine?
I don't actually know.
It says Lance is still married, so maybe he's just joking around.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. This was what Randy Savage advice was to Lance.
Oh, right. With Elizabeth.
Interesting.
I went to Lance's Wikipedia page. Lance has been happily married since 1987.
Clearly didn't do an angle with his wife in wrestling.
Yeah, apparently not. And Rusev has tempered it twice now. He just became an American citizen, and he's really feeling that freedom.
No kidding.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And by the next time we talk to you, we will be on the other side of AEW having their first television episode, seeing The Rock back on a WWE show, and possibly having CM Punk returned to the world of professional wrestling. It's going to be a whole different world, Joel, in just a few days.
A whole new world, shining, shimmering, splendid.
And on that note, until next time, cheers and enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bye.